Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for another day. Dear God, this time that you've allowed us to be here, dear God, in your presence. Oh God, I pray, dear God, that you would move by your spirit, that lives be impacted and changed by the message of the gospel. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. I talked about a couple weeks ago, I talked about where are you, right? Anybody remember that series? And we were talking about where are you when it comes to what God wants to do. Are you in the place that God wants you to be? We talked about are you listening and attentive to hear from God, right? Remember that, Brother Philip? Remember that? We talked about some of the people that were in those situations. Elihu, who was the youngest man in the story of Job, who was like, it wasn't getting fixed. And he was like, I need to hear from God. And God spoke through him. There was many other situations and stories that we went over. But we want to know that we have to be in the right place where God wants us to be. And as I was praying for this sermon, the series title that God gave me is World Influencers. Somebody say World Influencers. Now, it's funny because sometimes God will just say something so smooth, so quick, and I'm like, okay, I know it. All right, Lord, thank you, Jesus. And I precious knows, man, there's times I just wait in a room until God gives me that word, and as soon as I get it, I'm like, all right, I'm up and running. But how many know that God really does want you to be a world influencer? All right, I was on Facebook. One of my friends, Khalil Grant, he put this on his Facebook. He said, God did not call the world to change the church, but the church to change the world. Now, listen, that sounds so simple, right? But today, in this day and age that we live in, we are living in an age where the world is dictating what we do. All right, if you want to figure out what you should wear, how you should look, we're not really going to the church, ladies, right? Ladies, we looking at the ladies on TV, the latest fashion. Brothers, we're not going to the pastor and be like, now, actually, it's kind of interesting because pastors be dressed sharp, right? So, you know, they be rocking them suits and we be like, dang, where'd you get that? But for the most part, we are not going to God. We're going to the world. And what begins to happen is if you don't set up in your heart how you're going to live your life, you're going to follow the world or you're going to follow God. But as I've been reading in Joshua, before he died, he said, listen, I know these other people are going to serve other gods, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So what I know about Joshua was he had in his mind and in his heart, he had it set that, listen, I don't care what they come to do or how they come to talk to me or what ways they come up with or what new ideas they come with, I'm going to follow the Lord. So he was a world influencer, right? Now, Joshua, I always say brief things about Joshua. If you read the story of Joshua and you don't like war, and you don't like blood, don't read the story of Joshua, right? Because Joshua was a representation of who Jesus is going to be when he comes back, right? Jesus is coming back on a white horse, right? And not to sing Kumbaya. When he comes back this time, he's going to come as a warrior, amen? And he's going to get rid of all evil. That's what Jesus is going to do. So when you see stuff like that happen in the Old Testament, a lot of times we see that, man, God was really, well, if they don't repent, that's what he's still going to do. Why? Because God is not acceptant of evil. Now, in the world that we live in, we're talking about either being influenced by the world or influencing the world. The people in the world are telling us what is good and what is wrong now. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound familiar? If you go to Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's one of my kids' memory verses. But he also created man and women. He made Adam and Eve, gave them dominion over the world. What does dominion mean? They're in charge. All right? They were in charge of everything. God gave them, he said, you can eat of everything in this garden except one tree. Matter of fact, don't even touch it. Right? But guess who came in? The prince of this world, the prince of darkness, came in and said, did God really say that? Right? Did God really tell you you can't eat this? I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you about this apple. This is the best, and it was actually a fruit, but I'm just going to say apple for right now. This apple is the best apple. Why would God keep that from you? Now, see, if you're not grounded in God and knowing, listen, I don't care what anybody tells me. I don't care how shiny that apple starts to look. I don't care how much juice is just dripping from that apple, right? Because, I mean, if you really think about it, what the enemy does is he finds something that you really like. And he says, okay, let's see if they really committed to God. Right? Let's see. Okay, if I get that nice thing that you know that you have issues with and it looks good enough, are you going to, and if I tell you how good it looks, are you going to believe me or are you going to believe God? Right? I talk to people, and there's a lot of people that have issues with lust, right? But if you really look at the situation with a biblical mindset, you realize that any spirit of lust is of the devil, right? So when you start looking at these ladies, it should cause you to say, hold up, man, this ain't even of God. I'm going to tell you this. If you walk in God, you can see the evil spirits in people's eyes, right? You can see things that are going on. And if you are not careful and say, listen, I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to follow the Lord. Let me put this thing here. Let me block that. Let me turn this off. If you don't do that, you will become a victim to the world. And the devil is doing the same thing to you as he did to Eve and Adam. He's deceiving you. Because what the world wants to do is they want to make everything wrong look right. Right? That's the goal of the world. You think about it right now. The presidents that are running. Okay, we know about Trump. We know about Hillary. There's another president that just came out or candidate, and he's just like, hey, yeah, everything goes. Whatever you want, I do it. That's what I'm coming to do. If you want to have this, you can have that. If you want this, you can have it. That's all right. So just vote for me, right? Why? Because the enemy, who is he's the prince of this world. He don't run nothing, right? But this world, if you allow him to run it. God is still giving believers dominion over this world. That is something that when you gave your life to Christ, that was restored. Amen? He gave you dominion. So you have to walk in the dominion and authority. That's why when the enemy tries to rise up, believers and followers of Christ, we don't just say, all right, devil, just do what you want to do. You say, no, you might get a godly anger and start praying and rebuking the enemy. Amen? Because I'll tell you that there's sometimes where I'll be like, man, this is too much. Lord, we expect things to turn around for your glory. God, I stand here in this gap and say, God, I need this to change. Why? Because I want to be a world influencer. I don't want the world to influence me. Amen? I'm going to say this. God is looking for men and women of God who influence those that they are around. And I'm going to say this. Sometimes, no knock to missionaries who leave where they're at and go preach different places. There's nothing wrong with that. But I will tell you this. Jesus commanded the disciples to go make disciples first where they were at, in that city. Amen? Now, how many of you have got neighbors? Oh, well, we should all raise our hands, right? All right, now listen. If you never said anything about God to your neighbors, there's a problem. Right? There is a problem. Now, I'm going to tell you this. We get, as an artist, as music artist, sometimes it's easy for me to go do a concert. Why? Because I'm used to that. But when you start talking to your neighbors about God and the things of the gospel, things begin to get a little bit edgy sometimes because that's your next door neighbor. Oh, man, they don't want to see me no more. That's all right. Plant seeds of the gospel. Your neighbor, guess what? If you really want to know who God calls you to, he calls you to the people that are closest to you. And one thing I do, I give them my CD so they know what I'm about, but I also say, man, hey, if you need prayer, can I pray for you? I don't care what the situation is. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And guess what? I got different people that are into different things around me, just like you do, right? But God has called us to shift the world that is around us. If we as believers, let me tell you this, the world is not going to not tell you what they're into. Have you ever noticed that? People that are into sin, they're not going to hide it. Oh, man, I don't want to tell him that I'm about to go to the club. Matter of fact, they're going to ask you, you want to go to the club with me? Man, we about to turn up. I got this. I got that. Hey, listen, man, you know, we got this over here, man. Come on with us. Why? Because they are unashamed. And the Bible even says that misery loves company, which means that they try to get as many people with them as possible to try to enjoy something that truthfully deep down in their heart they know is wrong. But if we know that living for Jesus is right, how can we try to hide it? It's like, oh man, I'm living for the Lord, and I might not get no amens for this, but I'm living for the Lord, and I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings because my views might be different than their views, right? I don't want to offend anybody because, you know, everything is, in the world, they liberate everything except for Christianity. That's why you watch what happens in public schools. How many different things can other religions do that Christianity cannot do? A different book besides the Bible is allowed. The Bible's not allowed. Right? So guess what? You are the living word that needs to go in there. If they won't allow a book, should that stop the gospel from being spread? No. We should know the word of God. The Bible says that Jesus is the word. And guess what? I believe this. As you accept Jesus Christ, you become a mirror of the word of God. That's our goal. I should mirror what the word of God says in my own life. I should look at this word, and we're going to get into it in just a second. But if I look at the word of God, I should say, I want to be like that. Right? Why? Because that's who the Bible calls Jesus, the living word. That's what Jesus was. We are all Christians or followers of Christ, then we must follow his word. But guess what? If they ban a book, Christianity should still thrive. Right? Because guess what? People are wondering why they banned that book. There's some people that don't even know what's in the book. They just don't want it around them. But if you are around them, if you're influencing those that you are around, God will be able to touch and change people's lives. One thing I'm going to say before we get into Daniel chapter 1 is this. One thing I do, when people get in the car, they always ask me, hey, how are you doing? And I'm like, great, excellent, fabulous. I'm trying to come up with even better words, right? I'm doing extravagant. Why? Because I want them to know there's something different about me as soon as they get in. And then they ask me, why? What's going on? What happened? Because I'm alive. I'm blessed. I'm able to be here. And I don't just say this. I believe this. Right? I tell my kids, listen, you're going to school today. But you better make it a great day. right? We repeat this stuff every day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will and be glad in it. Why do I make my kids say that every single day? Because some people wake up and they think it's a bad day. It's raining, right? I got water all over my clothes because a car came too close to the curb. This is still a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? And we add this because we're children of the Most High King. I'm a child of God, so I believe that this is a great day. Amen? But see, look, if you don't believe that, when you are hit with something in the world, you're going to, you know who you're going to become. Who is it? Who is it? Eeyore. You're going to become Eeyore. I just drove somebody today, one of Precious's coworkers. They went to Disneyland, and she was like, why was Eeyore so sad? She didn't know Eeyore's in Winnie the Pooh. And she's like, why is he always so sad? And I was like, that's who he is. But me, I'm not Eeyore. I'm not going to let these things in the world get me down. Amen. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. And I'm just going to read this, and we'll be done today. I'm going to break it down, though, as well. So Daniel chapter 1 is all about Daniel in the Bible. Now, this is the thing about Daniel. Daniel was a slave. Did you guys know that? Daniel was a slave. I mean, for some people, that's enough to make them be like, oh, man, I'm not going to have a good day. Daniel was a slave that was exiled into Babylon. What does exile mean? Their kingdom was, they got beat up, basically, and they came and took them in. Matter of fact, one of the prophets told them to just surrender. Just go to Babylon, right? And some of them were like, man, what's wrong with you? Well, I'm going to tell you this. He listened to the voice of God, not just what you think. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you might think something different than the Word of God, and what you need to do is get your mind on what the Word of God says. Because if you think differently from the Word of God, that's another spirit. And if it's another spirit that is not the Spirit of God, well, it's the spirit of the evil one. Amen? Sometimes we make it so difficult, like, man, I don't know, but what if God? No, that ain't what if God. God said this. You must align with what God says. Oh, man, I even got started. Let's go. It says,
we're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. I mean, he came and just took over, all right? And it says, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. Now, let me say this about Daniel. Daniel was one of these people that was chosen. Now, Daniel was from a royal family. We just read that, right? From a royal family. He was defeated. Or at least his people were defeated, but he didn't allow that to defeat him. Right? Now, how many people have heard people say stuff about black people like, you don't know who you are? Right? You don't know who you are. You've been bamboozled. They lied to you your whole life. You're not what you think you are. Well, guess what? That might be for the people, but if you know who you are, it's a different story. And that's why I tell people, you have to know who you are in God. I am not just the color of my skin, right? And some people might have problems with this. Oh, well. I'm not just the color of my skin, because more than my skin is a spiritual man. And I live in the spirit. I don't live in this carnal flesh. I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. So when you have these in your head, you are not limited to what people say about whatever culture you come from. Now, I believe that you should honor the cultures, but your culture, just like my dad's talking about, your culture should never be honored or esteemed higher than the word of God. Because when you come into Christ, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. That means the old has gone and the new has come, right? God has created you into something new. That's important to know, because in this world, when the world is trying to influence you, you have to stand up and say, look, I don't believe that. I'm not going to be trapped into thinking something that might not even be true. But really, the whole aim of that is to make one person's race or what's the other word I used earlier? Anyway, to make that race or culture stronger than anybody else. And that's not what God has asked to do. Even with the Israelites, he wasn't always just trying to make them the dominant culture. He was trying to create a culture that loved God and that followed God. Now, there was people that came against following God, and that's who God destroyed, right? So we have to know who we are in God. So anyway, Daniel was a young man without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning. Let me tell you something. As a believer, hey man, we should be excited about learning things about God. Right? You should be so excited about learning the things of God that people should look at you like you're crazy. Man, you always in that Bible. Why are you in that Bible? Why? Because I told you before, this excites me. I got to know what God created me to be, so I read the word of God. Amen? But it also said he was well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. So Daniel was not a slouch. Somebody say, Daniel was not a slouch. Sloppy, sitting on the couch. All right? That wasn't Daniel. He was a go-getter. But it says the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years. Somebody say 3 years. And after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. So we got them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You also got Belteshazzar. But if you really want to know what their name were, it was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Why did they change their names? Let's think about this. Why does the world try to change their names? All right, there you go. Why? Because they're trying to give them a new name. They're trying to create. Let me say something about the devil. The devil is not stupid, all right? The devil tries to duplicate what God does. If God gives you a new name, the devil's going to try to give you a new name, right? Listen, you might have been like that in your old life. The devil wants to change you to really just be all about yourself. But God wants to change you so you surrender your life totally to him. Okay? So when you see these names trying to be changed, verse 8 says, but Daniel resolved, all right? So not only does it just say Daniel's name again, Daniel kept his name, right? But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. All right, now listen, we're talking about somebody that is going to influence the world that is around him. Daniel even, there was a strict eating at this time, because this is the Old Testament, right? They had a strict eating guideline, right? There were certain foods they would not touch or they would be defiled. Now, we only see four people from Judah right there, but I'm pretty sure there was more than four, right? Pretty sure there was more than four people from Judah that came, and they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to eat whatever they got. We're just happy to be alive. Give me a new name. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. Right? When you look at the book of Daniel, you only hear these four people mentioned that stood for God. Right? Now, let's be clear. When they overtook the kingdom, when Babylon came and overturned Israel and ran Israel and Judah, guess what? It wasn't just four people left. So when you talk about even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not bowing down to the image and getting thrown into the fire, how many of you know there were some other people from Judah that bowed down? Am I making this up? No, listen, there's other people there from the same places, but because they were not world changers, their name's not even written in the book of Daniel. Let me say something. If you want to be a world changer, it causes friction. It causes problems. We don't want you because you just can't fit in with the program. But you say, listen, I'm on a whole nother program, baby. I'm on a kingdom program. I'm on a kingdom agenda. I cannot back down because God has ordained me for living like this for such a time as this. Right? So when you see all these people, Daniel is saying, look, I'm not gonna do this. None of the people that are with me, we're not going to do this. And it says this, verse 9, this is what happens when you're a world influencer. When you go against what the world wants you to do, it says, now God caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. All right? So this official is trying to make it right, maybe because he kind of believes what Daniel was into. You ever had that happen before? Listen, I don't know about you, but I've been in situations where when you do the right thing and somebody is trying to make it look like you're doing the wrong thing, you'll get favor. I had an issue with a manager trying to do this, and he actually tried to fire me. It was a snow day of all days, right? I couldn't get to work, and he was like, well, you're fired. And I was like, okay, there's nothing I can do. I can't get to work. It's snowing, right? So the supervisor actually came and picked me up. Now, he had one of those, you know, vehicles. If he had to drive on a mountain, he could have drove on a mountain. So he comes and picks me up. And he says, I see you clearly couldn't come to work. What's going on? Why is the manager tripping? I'm like, I don't know. And he was like, I asked everybody else in the office, what kind of worker are you? And they were like, you're a great worker. The best. I'm getting calls from people, and they're like, yeah, man, I don't know about you, but that guy, he's a great guy. He made it. And I'm like, I'm just doing my job. Right? But because of that situation, my supervisor, he actually allowed me to get around the manager. And he's like, look, don't worry about what the manager's saying. I will take care of it. Right? Somebody say favor. Now, if I was doing the wrong thing, guess what? I would have got fired. But because of my stance, and they all knew that I was Christians, and to make it worse, my manager was a Mormon, so I believe that has some stuff to do with it, right? But they knew what I stood for. And when you make a stand for God, somebody's going to say, man, I gotta turn something around for him. Why? Because I believe in what he's doing. And that's what God did right here. The official told Daniel, I am afraid. In verse 10, it says, of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." All right. So now this guy is even getting in trouble if he's going to do this. But he says, Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearances with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. All right, now listen, that's a tough diet because I don't want to just eat vegetables. But what I will tell you is this. Their stance on something that some of us think is so minor made a huge difference. Because this stance was to honor their God. Even in their eating. Now, some people are like, man, eating, you know, we know we live in the New Testament. There wasn't the same rules and regulations on eating that they had back in the Bible, right? But I will tell you this, if you eat more vegetables, you will be healthier, right? Yeah. Why? Because vegetables are healthier. But what I will say is, in this little instance, their obedience to God was birthed. All right? Now I'm going to tell you this. When you want to be a world influencer, it starts with the little things. Somebody say integrity. Integrity doesn't start with $1 million and somebody's like, walk this to the bank and make sure it gets there. It starts with a penny. Can you take this penny over here for me? Can you take $1 over here? How about 10? How about 100? How about 1,000, right? Why? Because people have to get to learn how to trust you. If you walk up to somebody and the first thing they do is give you a huge responsibility, they must already trust you or they're naive. Yeah, that's a good word, right? Why? Because certain things have value. And Daniel, I'm going to say their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I know that's their other names, they were set up to start to honor God even with small things. And as you read the rest of the book of Daniel, you see it gets bigger and bigger. Now with situations where it's not just about what I eat. My life is at stake here. Right? We turned away from the stakes over there, but now my life is at stake. Right? Why? Because I want to please God. I don't care what anybody else says. I am here to please God. And it's important to have that mindset. Amen? So it says, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. All right? I'm going to read the rest of this chapter and we're going to be done for today. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so they entered the king's service. Why? Because God set them apart, right? They were obedient to God, even in the small things, and he allowed them to flourish in wisdom and insight because God is creating them to be world influencers. Now, I'm going to tell you something about when you read the book of Daniel. Do you know that every king that was in place glorified God because of Daniel? Man, that's powerful. The king, not just some random dude. The king came and Daniel did something because he was obedient to the voice of God. He was saying, look, I'm here. I know I was somebody that was in exile. I know the history. I wasn't supposed to be here. But now that I am here, let me glorify God being here. And because of him glorifying God, every single one of the kings glorified God at one point in their life. And these people, these kings were evil kings. We talk about Babylon. Do you guys know Babylon is not, this ain't nothing compared to Babylon. Babylon was just whatever you want to do, do it. It sounds familiar, right? The Bible talks about in the last days, Babylon is going to be back in place. The spirit of Babylon. But as we look at Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they, it says in verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and the enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So when you look at this, this shows that God's wisdom is stronger than any other wisdom. They had magicians. They had people that chanted and did all kind of stuff to try to get wisdom. But how many know that it only comes from God? And how many know, I'm going to say this today, as we get started on this, it starts with the small things. If you want to influence this world for God, it starts with the small things. I don't want you to think that you got to go to Asia to tell people about the gospel if there's somebody next door to you that you won't share the gospel with. Right? I even take it a step further. Look, if you're going and just, you're trying, look, instead of trying to reach a whole bunch of people, try to reach one person. Try to share the gospel with one person. I guarantee it works better. Why? Because people, there's a phrase that is not in the Bible, but I believe it's a great phrase. It says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. What does that mean? I could tell somebody about the gospel, but if it looks like I don't care about these people, they really don't care what I got to say. But if they see that I'm really genuine and I'm like, man, listen, I got something that's going to really help you. I got to tell you this because I know that you're going to benefit from this. And I'm not trying to get over on you. I'm not doing this just to say, that's another soul that I led to the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. No, because I care about this person. People want to know that you care. The church has to care about what's going on in people's lives. Amen? So when we talk about world influencers, start small. Ask yourself even today, God, what can I do today that can start changing the people that are around me? Right? Lord, allow every conversation that I have, as the word of God says, to be seasoned with salt so that they can know my good works come from heaven. So they can know that I am here to just please you, Lord. It's important to do that. Amen. Somebody say, influence the world. Come on, say it. Influence the world. That's our job. Amen. We're done. That was impactful to you. Go ahead and slip your hand up. Amen. Why do we do this?
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the word of God.